From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
I'm delighted you're listening in to Life Change Weekend. Every weekend, we are delighted to have guests come on our program. It's a great joy to be partnering with the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation and our good friend James Baker and so many others. As you know, one of the guests that we have on a regular basis, he's really part of the family here, is Pastor Bob Kadlecic. And this week, and again next week, he is going to be joining us on a very important topic that is a topic that is universal. It's a topic that you and I deal with all the time. It's a topic that I think we have all had some struggles with. So, Pastor, good to have you on. And how are you and the family doing?
It's good to be here, and we're doing really well.
Pastor, I remember a good friend of mine who was passing. I mean, he was going through a difficult cancer battle, and I went to see him for the last time. And that's what he said to me. He said, I'm delighted that my children are walking in truth. And it means a lot. Well, we're talking about forgiveness, and that's quite a topic. As soon as I say that, I'm sure some who may have been thinking of changing the dial are not going to do that today because of that topic. And so what does it mean to forgive? What are some of the misconceptions about forgiveness? When do I need to forgive, and how do I forgive? And so we'll be covering all of that and more with Pastor Bob on Life Change Weekend. Forgiveness is a word we all learned at a young age, but it is often misunderstood and a misunderstood concept. So, Pastor, help us out with this as we begin. When you think about forgiveness, what is forgiveness?
I think the simplest definition of forgiveness is to cancel a debt. Matthew 18, there's a story a lot of people know well about the unmerciful servant, and it says, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But then later, when the servant wouldn't forgive the debt of another man, he was called back to stand before his master, who said, you wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours. And so I think forgiveness is to delete someone's debt, to cancel it. And this is important because people often say, well, he doesn't deserve to be forgiven. And that's completely true. It's actually the definition of forgiveness. The only way he would have deserved to have no debt is if he paid the debt off himself. And if he paid it off himself, then he wouldn't need forgiveness. Deserved forgiveness is an oxymoron. Anyone who deserves forgiveness doesn't need forgiveness. It's the canceling of the debt.
Yeah, that's very thoughtful when you think about it. I think probably people right now, Pastor, have thought about times when they've lost sleep over this kind of an issue. So that's an example of what forgiveness means when it comes to money or debt. So what does it look like when we forgive, for example, in other ways?
When you cancel a debt, you're giving up your right to punish another person. And so you're putting punishment in God's hands. And I think there's three ways, especially, that we can do that. And first, forgiveness means I'm promising that I won't bring the matter up to you. Many times we punish people verbally by just rehearsing someone's wrongs. And it can be used as ammunition to win an argument or to guilt someone into doing what I want. The promise to forgive really means I'm not going to remind you and try to control you through the wrong you did to me because it's forgiven. The matter's closed. And I do want to say, with all of what we're talking about, that people need to not be legalistic about it. There are rare exceptions when you need to talk again about something that was done wrong. But I think the question is, will it benefit the one I've forgiven? And so to say, hey, remember how you hurt me this way, you're doing the same thing now with your son. I don't bring up what I forgave to hurt you or hold it against you. I'm bringing it up to help you see that there's a pattern in your life that needs to stop. Proverbs says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And so secondly, forgiveness is a promise not to bring the matter up to others. And again, rehearsing your faults to my friends is a way of punishing you and hurting you and hurting your reputation. So I'm not going to say, oh, you think Dino's a nice guy? Well, let me tell you what he did to me. If it's forgiven, I'm not going to make you pay and use it to hurt your reputation or relationships with others. And I think this crosses over into gossip. Gossip isn't necessarily lying. Gossip is telling negative information about someone that's not helpful to the person you're talking to. It's not helpful to anyone. Sometimes it can be true. Sometimes gossip is not true, but it's never helpful. And forgiving is a promise to not gossip about what has been forgiven. And again, don't be legalistic about this. The larger goal of forgiveness is to love others. And sometimes loving someone means telling them negative truth. And so maybe if you want to hire Matt to keep your books, and I know he embezzled and took money from me, well, I need to tell you that even if I've forgiven Matt, because it's helpful for you to know that he did this in the past. And in fact, if Matt is repentant, he's probably told you already that he embezzled in the past. And so love sometimes means revealing negative information about someone, but only if the goal and the ultimate end is to help, not punish the wrongdoer. Because, you know, in that silly illustration, if you struggle with stealing money, the last place you want to be is in a position where you can steal money. And the other time that sometimes you need to bring it up is you may be in counseling and it's appropriate to share, I forgave this person, but it still bothers me, it keeps coming up in my mind, what do I do? But again, the purpose of sharing it is not to punish and truly forgive completely. So three ways that forgiveness works itself out. Number one, I'm not going to bring the matter up to you. Number two, I'm not going to bring the matter up to others. And the third way is the hardest. It's a promise that I'm not going to bring the matter up to myself. And that's hard because the mind is really good at remembering pain. And so not bringing it up in my own mind is not a one-time thing. It's something that I have to do, you have to do over and over, and maybe even for the rest of your life. But it's important for you to forgive and for me to forgive, because the alternative is letting that sin hurt and control you. You know, unforgiveness just infects our minds, robs us of joy. It hurts other relationships. In fact, a WPEL radio announcer, Mark Dorval, he once told me, unforgiveness gives someone free rent between your ears. And I thought that's really true. Forgiveness sets you free from actions done to you in the past that make you miserable in the present and the future, and you stop paying that rent. Now, you can't help it when an unforgiving thought pops into your head. It will happen, and you can't will yourself into forgetting it, but you can decide to not dwell on it. Martin Luther said it this way about 500 years ago. I thought it was really good. He said, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. And so if someone asks, will you forgive me? You might want to really think it through before you say yes, because it is hard.
Yeah, it's a great thought that you're giving to us there, Pastor. You're listening into Life Change today. This is Dino Padrone chatting with you. And we have on today Pastor Bob Kadlecic. Now, this week and next week, we're going to be dealing with the subject of forgiveness. And I want to remind you of the most recent book that I have done. It is called True Spiritual Identity, with the subtitle, How Does God See Us? And the question is not how God views the world, America, your friends, family, or even your spouse, but the question is, how does God view you? Stop and think. What does God say about you? Well, True Spiritual Identity takes us to an ancient book drawing out a remarkable concept of how God sees his children. In this lonely and personal world we live in, there is hope and purpose based on what God says about his family. Once this truth is understood, a whole new world of blessing awaits at the doorstep of the reader. The book is endorsed by a number of Christian leaders who are included in the volume. In the pages, you will find 15 amazing facts that God says about you. Each of them, I would say, are overwhelming. All 15 are a result of the amazing grace of God. You know, we often define ourselves by our jobs, our successes, our achievements, our financial position, our appearance, our educational accomplishments, and various other ways. But we also desire the favor of others. External messages attempt to define us. So what happens, however, is they are gone or failure takes our role away. What happens? Well, what about God? How we view that God sees us is often determined in our minds as to how we see Him. So I encourage you to get the book. You can go to www.trilogy.tv or go to Barnes & Noble's or Amazon and simply ask for the book. Publishers are Trilogy, and put in their true spiritual identity. And it's my prayer the book will be a real blessing to your life. Now, the topic today is a fascinating one. It's one that always fascinates me. And Pastor Bob, you've given us a lot to think about already. So in today's world, it is often a misunderstood concept. So what are some things that are not included in forgiveness?
Well, before I get to that, I do want to say your book, How Does God View Us? That is just such a pertinent thing because the world has all these things that are wrapped up. That it says in our identity, it would say I'm a middle-class white American man, and none of those things really are my identity. I am forgiven, and that is my identity, and it is out of that forgiveness from God that I can forgive others. And so that is so important to understand how God views us, and it helps us view others. So what are things not included in forgiveness? Yeah, a lot of people misunderstand and they think forgiveness means forgetting, and you can't promise to forget something. And even in the Bible, God talks about, I will remember their sins no more. And it's not that He's going to have some case of holy Alzheimer's and not remember what we did. Remembering is really an active thing, and forgetting is passive. God is saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to actively try to remember something and intentionally bring up and rehearse your sin. To not remember means I'm not going to dwell in it in my own mind. When you don't remind yourself of hurts, it slowly fades from your memory. And you'll be tempted to think about it less and less often. And the details and the raw emotion will start to dim and dissipate. And if it was a deep hurt, you're never going to forget it. But choosing to not remember is better for you than it is even for the person who wronged you. They say unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting your enemy to die. It's just insanity. Mm. Forgiveness is not forgetting, and it's actually better many times for the person forgiving than for the person who needs the forgiveness. The second thing that forgiveness is not, and it's not excusing. Some people are unwilling to forgive because they think it means approving of the sin that was done to them. Nothing could be further from the truth. If it was okay, it wouldn't need to be forgiven. And so this is good to remember when someone sins against you and asks for forgiveness. Don't ever say, oh, it was nothing, or no big deal, don't worry about it. If it was sinful and wrong, it is a big deal. And forgiveness never minimizes sin. It does the opposite. In fact, if you ask for forgiveness and someone responds in a minimizing way to you, then you need to say, no, it is a big deal. And I'm not asking you to excuse my sin. I'm asking you to forgive me. So forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not excusing. It's also not a feeling. This is really big, because if you wait to feel like forgiving, you're probably never going to forgive. And this is also good news, because if forgiveness was a feeling, you'd be a powerless victim, because you can't change or control your feelings. So you'd be at the mercy of that hurt for the rest of your life, a perpetual victim. But forgiveness, it's not a feeling, it's a decision, which means you can forgive. And you don't have to be a passive victim. You can actively take control and obey God and live in victory and forgiveness.
That's well said, Pastor. It's not forgetting, it's not excusing, it's not a feeling. So when you say forgiveness is not excusing, you also talked earlier about not bringing it up. So does that mean that forgiveness removes all consequences of sin?
This is a tricky one, because the short answer is no. But forgiveness is a promise that I won't punish you, but that doesn't mean God, legal authorities, or someone else won't punish you. Romans 12:4 says, rulers do not bear sword for no reason. They're God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. So if someone kills my daughter, me forgiving them doesn't mean they don't go to jail. In fact, there have been a lot of cases that have brought national attention where the family of the victim forgives, but the government does not. And that's not because the government is sinful. It's actually the way God designed it. But there's another way in which forgiveness doesn't necessarily remove consequences. And it hinges on the difference between punishment and discipline. Punishment seeks to even the score. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's government's role. But discipline is different, and there's a grace to it. Discipline uses negative consequences not to punish, but to help the person who did wrong to learn and to become better and more like Jesus. So here's an example of forgiveness that doesn't punish but does discipline. Let's say my son, you know, he got a speeding ticket and he comes home and he says, I'm sorry, I was wrong to speed, will you forgive me? I'll say yes, and then he hands me the ticket and walks away. I would say, whoa, come back here. There is forgiveness. So there's no punishment, but and our relationship is restored, and I love you, and I'm not necessarily going to bring this up and hold it against you, but because I love you, you're going to pay for the ticket yourself, not as a punishment to make you pay, but as a help to make you better, because forgiveness removes punishment, but it shouldn't stop helpful, constructive correction and discipline. I'm going to say, you know what? I don't want you to get in an accident. I don't want you to hurt yourself with your car. And so because I love you, I'm going to have discipline, and you got to pay that ticket yourself so that you'll be better and you'll learn to not drive that fast. So in fact, forgiveness that enables sinful behavior, it's harmful to the person being forgiven, and forgiveness is not God's way to harm and hurt someone indirectly or even passively. So correction is very different from punishment, and you can have forgiveness and discipline or correction.
Well, that's well said, Pastor, and I think that's a world of truth of what you're giving to us about this whole concept of forgiveness is not God's program to harm, but to really get us on the right track. And that's so true. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padron chatting with you. I'm so glad that you're a part of the weekend program with us, and thank you for listening in. Our topic today is forgiveness. It's something we all need to hear about. It's something that, frankly, is a struggle we have sometimes. And you know, Pastor, as I think about forgiveness, I think about Jesus speaking to Peter to forgive 70 times 7. Now, that's 490 times. So if I'm always supposed to forgive, does that mean that people can always take advantage of me over and over again, and I have to just, I guess, turn the other cheek? How does that work?
Yeah, this is really important, because a lot of Christians, and this happens even in marriages a lot, and they think that's what the Bible says, that, but it's not. And that's because there's a difference between forgiving someone and trusting someone. And so forgiveness means I'm not going to punish you, but trust doesn't let someone keep taking advantage of you. So here's an example. This is important because if I continue to trust someone who continues to hurt me, really I'm enabling and helping them sin against me, and that is not God's plan or program. That's not what Jesus wanted to happen when he talked about forgiveness. So here's an example, and I'll do this with you, Dino. You're my neighbor, and I borrowed your ladder. Now, because you're so busy, you kind of forget about it, but a year later, you need it, and you come to me and say, hey, can I have my ladder back? And I just respond, I just I just rip your head off. Your ladder, that's my ladder. You can't have it. And then I gossip to someone else. Ah, Dina, he tried to steal my ladder, the nerve. But then my wife later tells me that it isn't my ladder. I gave my ladder to my dad. This is actually Dino's ladder. And so I come to you and say, you know, I'm sorry. I forgot. I gave my ladder to my dad, and I did borrow your ladder. It's yours. Here you go. I'm sorry for accusing you of lying. Will you forgive me? What would you say to me, Dino?
Yeah, I forgive you, but probably a little bit of trust issue.
Yeah, sure. Let's say a week later, I go to your house and say, can I borrow your lawnmower? And let's say you're incredibly gracious and you let me borrow your lawnmower. And sure enough, I don't return it that day when I said I would. And a week later, you leave me a message and I don't get back with you. And then I go on vacation. And a month later, I finally return your mower and I say, I'm sorry for forgetting and keeping it that long. That was wrong of me and selfish. Will you forgive me? Would you forgive me for that?
Well, I guess what Jesus is saying is yes, if I'm releasing it, but we have a problem about trust.
Yeah. So if I then follow it up with, hey, can I borrow your car? What would you say?
That's probably not going to happen, Bob.
Of course not. And that doesn't mean that you're not a forgiving person. It means you're not a sucker. Saying no doesn't make you a bad Christian, and it doesn't make you unforgiving. I think you would actually make a good argument to say saying no to a man like that would actually make you wise.
Yeah.
And if I was truly repentant, I would recognize that this is an area of sin in my life, and it's going to take some time to rebuild trust. And I have found that people who don't recognize that are not repentant. And while they still should be forgiven, they should not be trusted, because there's a big difference between trust and forgiveness. But I would say, some people say, well, you know, you need to build trust, which is true. If there is nothing I could ever do, no matter how long or hard I try, to regain your trust, then it probably isn't a trust issue and probably haven't forgiven. But in general, we just need to separate those two concepts, because being godly doesn't mean being a sucker.
Yeah, and I'm really glad, by the way, that we are doing this over 2 weeks, because there's so much to talk here, so much to unwrap on this whole idea of forgiveness. And I think that's a great illustration about the ladder and the car and so forth. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. I'm so glad that you're listening in. So we have been talking a lot about forgiveness and the importance of forgiveness. And I really enjoyed our chat, Pastor Bob, about ladders and lawnmowers. But as you know, there are other serious sins. And I hate to bring this up, and maybe we'll continue this part of it to next week, because we're just about out of time. We have about 2 minutes left. But what about the more serious sins? What happens if a convicted child molester comes to your church?
I think that would take a little more time than we have, but it's a great question. And there's a lot of depends with that question. But I do think that highlights this truth about forgiveness, and that is that forgiveness is hard. And I've never heard anyone say, forgiveness comes easy for me. And in fact, if anyone did tell me that forgiveness came easy, I would just assume that they've never really been hurt very bad. Because when you're hurt deeply, that makes forgiveness so incredibly difficult.
Yeah, that's a powerful thought. And Pastor, we have just a few seconds left here. Why don't you pray, if you would, for those who are struggling with this right now?
Oh, God, this is not a theoretical thing. God, this meets us right where we live. And Lord, I just thank you for how blessed my life has been. But we know that there are people listening who have been hurt and incredibly wronged in ways that are just horrific. And God, there is no way in their own strength they can forgive. But God, I just thank you that you sent Jesus to set us free. And I just ask that you would set people free today as they're listening, that you would just open the floodgates of their hearts and their tears, and that they would forgive, but to let you be the judge and to let go of being the judge themselves, so that they can have that freedom that you offer in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Bob. We'll continue next week on this topic of forgiveness.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadron@gmail.com or dinopadronministries.org. That's dinopadron@gmail.com or dinopadronministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.